question is, can you give an why you're wanting to do this, a short version?
Basically, if I can step up to here.
Yeah.
As you can see, we're currently using the carport, and I've been renting the shop also since I bought the house from his father in the trust. And this is our front entrance, and that's the sidewalk and our patio, and this goes to the carport. And I don't know, basically, you know, we have a center line that goes right through the front, you know, 6 foot off our front door. Basically, we'd have to walk over and jump over the retaining wall and get out of our yard if that was the case, if somebody were to say something. But, you know, by moving this over and then obtaining this, you know, it kind of eliminates, I'm a construction worker, I have lots of tools and equipment, and it's already plumb full of stuff. But, you know, the only other thing I can see also is as far as making this a little more larger lot for the Tuckers and Mega Mover Trust would be to take this line and, you know, just go over here with it. I don't know how many square feet that would be. But, you know, I'm in the talks with him now on buying the duplex, but still I need to have this kind of separated if I ever decide to sell the house and move into the duplex and rent the upstairs or vice versa. Or just hold on to it and let the grandkids have it. But, you know, I don't think anybody else is going to do any other kind of building back there. There's no other lot to be built on. You know, this guy decides to develop this up here, or this over in here where the ponds used to be. But I don't even know if that would be.
So you're currently renting that right now and storing stuff. So it would be, you'd be doing the exact same use that you are right now. You're not changing anything.
No. And I talked to Dale Sanders, and he said the property is, you know, for outbuildings already made the lot 9% out of my homeowner's insurance. So I'm currently employed as soon as it changes hands. But other than that, I don't know what to say, but. You know, we can really get a lot of use out of that one part. And basically nobody in the duplex uses anything in that shed or that carport. Basically they have a three-car garage. Tommy Tucker uses one. And there's two tenants and they use one each. So that's three. And then the other shed, the little one here, is where he stores his mowing equipment, et cetera.
Anyone else have any other questions?
Thank you.
Scott, I know like out at where the YMCA is, they've got the large metal buildings, and those have different owners for different sections. They'll have a common large building and then walls. Mm-hmm. I assume that's the same sort of deal here, so there's no reason that can't be done.
Nope, zero, yeah. No.
Okay.
No. And he didn't explain, but Tommy that's sitting there, he lives currently right here. Is that correct?
What?
This is your home right where my hand is?
I would assume that.
Okay, here's the duplex.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's the Johnsons.
Yeah.
So he's the trust of the duplex, but yeah. He
Megan
lives right here.
Is my niece.
Yeah.
And I work on her trust, and then I handle my parents' estate.
But he lives right there, so.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this really has no impact on any other neighbors. The traffic count out there is about three a day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you step out the back door there, you've got a long fall down to the lake.
Yeah.
You guys see any issues that?
No.
And you would speak for this.
You're for this as the neighbor?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, they have been, I'm from Des Moines, Iowa, and they have been using the shop and the carport with my parents' permission. I didn't know that they didn't already have it.
Okay.
And then Bill showed me where the stakes were. And they couldn't even drive to the carport if they didn't have permission. And so there would be no problem on Mega Noble Trust, no problem on the Tucker side.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve this application?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve it as it's presented to us.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion is approved. Application is approved. Thank you.
What we'll have for you guys is a decision of record. Take us just a day or two to get it formalized and done and double-checked, and then Marla or somebody will call you and then have it notarized. That's something that you'll have recorded. And then once you have that done, then you can move forward with your surveying.
And a okay? survey would be, basically, Wolf would have to survey.
It'll be a replat, and he'll bring it in for me to review, and then I'll have to sign off on it, and you'll have it recorded also.
Okay.
Yep.
I appreciate it, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
The
next hearing is for Brown Barents Holdings, LLC. You guys can get out of here. You don't have to stick around. Unless you just want to.
Thank you.
Case number 17-6. This is a floodplain management ordinance and setback variance request. Brown Branch Holding, Barry and Jan Doherty are the representatives. We are at Brown Branch. This is kind of a out view. This is Highway 76 heading towards Ava. The county line's right there. Of course, this is Beaver Creek. We'll zoom in. State Highway W comes right through here. Their property is highlighted there. I mean, all the yellow and the green. I just picked one to find the others. The main building and their home is on this parcel. The parcel in question is right here. Mm-hmm. It's the one across the way. So here's a photo or a beacon with the floodplain on. You can see the A right there showing it's an A flood zone. Of course, it's located at 159 State Highway W, Section 4, Township 24, Range 17. Anyways, we zoom in on the property. We have some pictometry pictures that might help. This one's from the north. This one would be from the west. The south. The applicants Barry and Jan Doherty are requesting a variance from the provisions of the Taney County Floodplain Management Ordinance. The applicants are requesting a variance from the floodplain requirements for an accessory building to be wet floodproofed constructed. Per Article 4, Section A, Number 7, accessory structures not larger than 400 square feet may be constructed at grade and wet floodproofed, provided there's no human habitation or occupancy of the structure. The structure is of single wall design. A variance has been granted from the standard floodplain management requirements of this ordinance, and a floodplain development permit has been issued. Those are the requirements. It has to be single walled and a variance, and then I have to do a floodplain development permit. The applicants are also requesting a setback variance from Section 7 setbacks of the Taney County Development Guidance Code for the front setback of the bathroom from a state highway. Table 1 states the front setback for a building from a state highway is 50 feet, and the applicant is requesting a variance of 25 to be able to build the restroom 25 feet from the property line on State Highway W. This is from the south. That's Highway W, you're looking at 76. Those stakes are the property line. We stepped it off and the building would go 25 feet and set right in this area between these trees. I have one where I've kind of drawn it in. There we go. Kind of the orange is kind of the estimated area. They do have a soils evaluation, which I cover later, but this is the area of the lateral field. For said bathrooms, it'll be minimal flow, so it's a small field, but the soils evaluation was good. That's standing about where those property lines, a little closer to the road than the property lines, looking across the road at their business. There's one that just turned to the left a little bit, shows some new restrooms they built out of the floodplain that have showers and other amenities in them. I've backed up a little bit. You can see the property line stake. This was one of the trees, so just kind of giving you some different views. The subject property is described as the H.A. Thomas Hire Survey Lot 3 and contains a total of approximately 1 acre, and that's utilizing the assessor's information on Beacon. The property in question has a 22 by 30 pavilion on the parcel. And there's a picture of that current pavilion that's there. On March 24th, 2017, Janice Doherty submitted a Vision 2 permit application seeking to construct an 8-foot by 6-foot or 48-square-foot accessory structure to be utilized as a bathroom for campers. The approval of this Division 2 permit is contingent upon the approval of a floodplain development permit. The applicants have provided a copy of the MoDOT permit to allow the bore under State Highway W for the water to be run to the property. The applicant is also working with planning staff and an installer for an on-site wastewater system or wastewater permit for the bathrooms. A soils evaluation has been submitted with a suitable load rating for a basic system. The on-site wastewater system will have floodproofing requirements for safety for the septic tank and components in case of flooding. The applicant is working with engineers to complete the requirements for the floodplain development permit, such as vent sizes in the building for flood water flow through and the backflow prevention of the septic system. This is your statutory requirements. These are some floodplain management ordinance variance criteria per the requirements of Article 5, Section D of the Taney County Floodplain Management Ordinance. The Board of Adjustments shall consider all technical data and evaluations, all relevant factors, standards specified in other sections of the Floodplain Management Ordinance in the following criteria. One is the danger to life and property due to flood damage. Two is the danger that materials may be swept onto other lands to the injury of others. Three, the susceptibility of the proposed facility and its contents to flood damage and the effect of such damage on the individual owner. Four is the importance of the services provided by the proposed facility to the community. Five, the necessity to the facility of a waterfront location where applicable. Six, the availability of alternative locations not subject to flood damage for the purposed use. 7. The compatibility of the proposed use with existing and anticipated development. 8. The relationship of the proposed use to the comprehensive plan and floodplain management program for that area. 9. Is the safety of access to the property in times of flood for ordinary and emergency vehicles. 10. Is the expected heights, velocity, duration, rate of rise, and sediment transportation of the floodwaters, if applicable, expected at the site. And 11, the cost of providing governmental services during and after flood conditions, including maintenance and repair of public utilities and facilities such as sewer, gas, electric, and water systems, bridges, and streets. Conditions for approving floodplain management variances. 1. The use of accessory structures must be solely for parking and limited storage purposes in Zone A, only as identified on the community's flood insurance rate map. I talked with this over with Karen McHugh, and I think I put her email in your deal. She said if we have an accessory building variance process, that bathroom would be considered a accessory building. So that's why we're here.
Sure.
Even though that explains. 2. For any new or substantially damaged accessory structures, the exterior and interior building components and elements, foundation, wall, framing, exterior, interior finishes, flooring, etc., below the base flood elevation must be built with flood-resistant materials in accordance with Article 4, Section A, 4B of this ordinance. 3. The accessory structures must be adequately anchored to prevent flotation, collapse, or lateral movement of the structure in accordance with Article 4, Section A, 4A of this ordinance. All of the building's structural components must be capable of resisting specific flood-related forces, including hydrostatic buoyancy and hydrodynamic and debris impact forces. 4. Any mechanical, electrical, or other utility equipment must be located above the base flood elevation or flood-proofed so they are contained within a watertight flood-proofed enclosure that is capable of resisting damage during the flood conditions in accordance with Article 4, Section A, 4D of this ordinance. 5. The accessory structure must meet all National Flood Insurance Program opening requirements. The NFIP requires that enclosure or foundation wall subject to the 100-year flood contain